If you have your Bibles, we'll be in Exodus, the 20th chapter again. We've been taking time to look at the commandments, the Ten Commandments as given on Mount Sinai to Moses, and using that as a time of reflection during the Lord's Supper. Just to recap, a few weeks ago we looked at Exodus 20 verses 1 through 3 where it says, "And God spoke all these words, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." We looked at verse 3, broke it down a little bit, and just as a reminder, we see that the word for gods here is the same as we see in Genesis 1:1, Elohim. And to be before, panim, means to be the face or face-to-face. And God is reminding his people, the Israelites, not to have anything take his face or to be face-to-face with him. That's why if you go back to 1 Samuel, when the Philistines brought the ark to their temple to Dagon, Dagon constantly was found the next day face down before the ark, because no other god can be the face or even be face to face to the true God. And so we come here as a time of reflection on the true God in the form of Jesus Christ. But let's look at Exodus 20, verses 4 through 6. It's continuing on here. It says, "You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven, above, or on the earth, below, or in the waters that are below the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the sin of the parent to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." We see that verse 4 and 5 reiterate what we find in the previous three verses of Exodus 20. We are to worship God only. The revelation, the commandment to worship God, only goes even farther because God reveals the consequence of not worshiping him only. The punishment that God sends to man will be something that is observed and will be endured not just to that generation, but to the succeeding generations. Now, the word here for punishing is to heed or to visit or appoint, to observe, meaning that the consequences of a people's disobedience will be evident to their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, and will be something that they have to deal with. But it's verse 6 that I find the most compelling and interesting. And so that's what I want us to focus on. See, many times we focus on the negative when it comes to not following. But see, that's what God doesn't end with. God doesn't end with verse 5, but he continues on in verse 6, which says, "But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." Now, as Christians, this should be a phrase that we're actually well familiar with. In fact, this is the crux of the matter regarding our faith, regarding Christianity. See, Jesus told his 12 disciples, the followers, the learners, future apostles, church leaders, as he was training them up in John 14:15, he told them, "If you love me, keep my commandments." See, many times we are too busy focusing on things like verse 5. Like children, many times we listen to parents because we're afraid of the negative consequences. As we see in verse 5, we don't want to disobey because of how it'll affect us negatively or future generations. But see, in John's account, as we see also in the Exodus account in verse 6, we see that keeping God's commandments is a sign of love, and that this is something that will be reciprocated not just to ourselves, but to our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren, and so forth, for 1,000 generations. See, what we see here is that our commitment and commandments is something that we do because of our love to God. And that is what God is reminding the people of Israel, that if you're his people, you don't keep commandments because of the fear that you have for God, but you keep commandments because of the love that you have for God. In fact, isn't that why we're here right now? We're here to partake of this bread and cup to remember the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ on the cross. But we're here also to reciprocate that love. We are showing a sign of our love, a devotion as his church, as his bride, to our Lord, the husband, a sign that will last and impact 1,000 generations. That is why we see that we are to keep this continually until he comes again. So as we have this time and this moment of reflection and partaking in the Lord's Supper, we do so because we love our God and we want to keep his commandments. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day and we thank you for your blessing, Lord God. And we see as the commandments are there, the ones given to the Israelites, your people, that there are the lessons that we can learn as your people today, as the followers of Christ, your children. And Lord God, we pray that we remember we keep your commandments as a sign and as a showing of our love for you. Because we know, Father God, you have loved us before our existence, at the beginning of time, in all things and in all ways. We praise you and we thank you, Lord God, that we can reflect on your love and we give back in our obedience, our love to you. And it's through your Son's name we pray. Amen.